Blog Talk Radio.
That is wonderful.
Here I have
Sam Cooke.
I feel all right because, you know, it reminds me that life is about the way you think and the way you feel. Ever notice from time to time the way you feel and the way you're thinking? It all comes in either negative or positive. Now, what happens when you find yourself thinking and feeling the right way? And I mean, when you're aspired to a higher level of life where, you know, you feel like this is really about living the right life. Well, you're proud of yourself no matter, you know, how long it lasts, because, you know, feelings and thinking are all about chemistry. When you wake up in the morning, you really cannot set the chemistry. You cannot set the chemistry for the way you're going to feel. When you go to sleep, your body is rejuvenated and fixed to either you wake up, feel sick, or you feel healthy. Really? Have you ever wake up and feeling a pain? You never go to bed go to sleep with pain, but you wake up with pain. So just think about, we don't really control our lives in the context of that molecular level of health. We cannot do that. Life is beyond us. And what we experience is, you know, taken from the different changes that occur. And when we go to sleep, reason why we have to sleep, because why we have to sleep? It's a creation power that makes both human and animal sleep, right? Because if you just keep on working and going on and don't get rest, well, but why you have to get rest then? If you think that you control your life, why do you have to get rest? And so stupid that they write the Bible and said, God rests on the seventh day, and God is not like mankind, flesh. I mean, the God of the Bible, but it says he's a spirit. You know, why do they say that God had to rest? Sodomite thinking. A culture thinking. That's what happened. Okay? But those of us that are civilized and haven't lost our mental health and can identify civilized life in the way of thinking and emotion, you know, are we identifying and living according to provision that is given to us in our life? And when it is clear in the certified history, in prehistory, that the civilized people are the people that become who we are, ethnic people, it is because we are hybrid. And the folks, the Yamnaya culture, Homo erectus people that we see and we call white people today, they wrote the Bible, whether or not you want to accept it or not, right? Because who else could write the Bible? And when we say Bible now, you have to remember, you have to be educated and understand, you know, when I say they wrote the Bible, once you say Bible, you don't think like you call some, like the Da Vinci Code or some other book, because that, they call it a fictional book. It is not really a fictional book, but they call it a fictional book. When I say that because the title of the book, Da Vinci Code, well, Da Vinci Code means what? That could mean, you know, various different things, but the title of the book, Da Vinci Code, you know? But what the book is talking about is something that is serious beyond the things I knew about the world. And even though something is in that book that is relevant to what I'm thinking, but I could never make the connection. No, I could not make the connection. As a matter of fact, somebody said to me, you ought to read this book, because guess what? That person knew that something was in that book I need to know. And when I read it, oh, I surely was informed and enlightened, because the issue in that fiction book, fictional Da Vinci Code, is not so-so-so. And it's just like you talk about the Bible, the Holy Bible, you know, Holy Bible. And what is in the Holy Bible? What I'm trying to distinguish is that the Da Vinci Code is Dan Brown is the author of it. Now, when you take up the Bible, it doesn't say something like, Matthew, and that's the name of the Holy Bible, Matthew, the author, Matthew. You know, it's not just Matthew wrote the Bible, right? If Matthew is is one of the author, he did not, you know, if he is an author, he didn't wrote the Bible alone. There are 66 books, and most of the books are single author. And a few of them are by one author, like St. Paul. Okay? And you have like book one or book two. I think some of the authors, like 1 Corinthians 1, you know, are you on Corinthians 2? I don't think you have a 3 Corinthians. And I think the Epistle of John, I think, has like St. John 1, St. John 2, and I think you have a 3 John, if I am not mistaken. But what I'm trying to say to you is the way we feel as human beings, the science of identify who we are is a very serious thing. And I come to find out now, I have to lean hard on the memory, the remembrance of what makes me a person who good about myself. It's a certain thinking and a certain feeling that caused me to feel good. So we're talking about, as human and cattle live, that the power that generate or create beings like us, human being and other and cattle, we don't control the life that we have 100%. We just do not. And why do you think the Bible tells you to pray to God? Because these Homo erectus, Yamnaya culture, sodomites, of course, it is a hard fact to face, but because it is written in or certified. They know the history, the real history of civilization, because they only began to talk when after 3 million years or so, or 3.5 million years, these white people are officially today are recognized in today's what they call modern modern communication then. They only began to talk after interbreeding with people with blood to make you talk. And they somehow set themselves up on the human course. Something like that happened to them because they didn't interbreed with the African ethnic people first. No, they did not. They interbreed may not be the only group of people that they interbreed with. However, specifically, they interbreed with Neanderthals. And they did it widely that from reading, to me, it appears that they interbreed widely, as it were, they were purging their Homo erectus blood. So they have to run through the Neanderthal blood and become like the Neanderthals. That was what happened to them first. And indeed, from my observation, you know, I'm left up to any correction anybody have to offer me. They came out better looking than what they were as Homo erectus for 3.5 million years or so. Yeah, I think it was right in that number of years that they were mute. They were not a species that speak language, and they never got language. And I can prove it to you that these white people did not speak until about, say, 100,000 years ago. History to prove that they didn't. And I'm not talking of like somebody tell me something. I'm talking about the actual history that is written concerning them, okay, that in science that give record for hominid, that today we call them white people, European white people, Homo erect, Indo-European. But after they call the time when they were Homo erectus, and then they interbreed with the Neanderthals and became more human-like, but they don't only make stone tools. That's all they could do, right? The human development, they were only the second development of mankind. While they have several groups within their classification, all right? So the general classification is the hominid, and they developed to be known as Homo erectus, right? And maybe other things. However, these Homo erectus interbreed with Neanderthals. That is not a part of their culture. Look, I'm not the best reader on the planet in no kind of way, but what I read and understand, you know, it's up to somebody to, like, come in and just tell me, well, that's not what he used to say, and read what he used to say. I propose that I am talking what I have read as the history, world history textbook. I don't see a higher certification of history than that, right? Because anything tell the truth is a vehicle of telling the truth. So these white people that we have here today, who say they take over the world, they are on the brink of their own destruction, because they did something that cannot be corrected, neither can they be forgiven of what they have done. It turns out that they become a detriment and become a destruction to the planet and to civilization. Nobody cannot tell them anything, and they become God. They become gods, like the Elohim, according to them. And you read that in the World History textbook. And it doesn't matter what edition of the World History textbook you read, they publish that. They can't take that back, because it's not like something that they heard about. It's something that they know about, what they wrote in there. Okay? So the point is, they as it were, by their own action, terminate their existence on Earth. Because, you see, they are distinct by being hominid. And when they come to Homo erectus in any form, they distinct too. And the only reason over 100,000 years why these white people are here is because they interbreed with species that is not in their line of blood. whether you ready for that or not, but you're getting it. What the world is today, and nobody is about doing anything to it beside the gods and those of us who realize what has happened and what situation we are in today. And so I am saying that what has happened in the world is hidden. And there is something I said, what is hidden from the wise and prudent is revealed to the babe and suckling. And if you read real good in certain part of the scripture that is not contaminated, it tells you that the Elohim looked down on the system of the world today under AD and Adamani, and they lamented that they don't have one individual that can act as what you call a Moses or a watchman. And when they realize, or when not realize, but when they see that there was no intercessor to, let's say something on behalf of the rest of the people who were gone astray, there was no one, they decided to take some action of ordaining at least one individual. One who would become an intercessor and be a sufficient force to reckon with when that one would come and say the things that the Lord want to hear, an intercessor for those who have gone astray, that the mercies of the gods would not just summarily wipe us out with some of their cosmic destruction. And I think that's where we are today, that there was the time when I grew up, and I don't hear anybody say anything saving what this the Sodomite Bible speak about. That means the Bible, although the Bible has writings not supportive to homosexuality, it has those portions that someone can get to realize that something is different from what the other part of the Bible says. 66 books. Right? So when I say Bible, you don't think that I'm talking about Da Vinci Code or some other book. Like, I write a book, right? And nobody helped me write a book. When I say help me, I mean to actually create the thoughts in the book. I'm not talking about having an editor to, like, put what I have written, you know, in the way when you edit a book and, you know, ready for people to read it. So the Bible is an anthology. It's different from a book that is authored by one individual. Okay? So an anthology is a collection of different people writing that stuff. Right? If you ever have a book like that, I have books. I have an anthology book that deals with certain social order, certain things that happen in society, and written by different authors. You know, though they are writing basically about social things, but, you know, different people write it. Right? So, just like the Bible has different books, you see, 66 books. So, there are things in the Bible that when you read it as a Christian, you don't know what to do with it. You really don't know what to do with it. Because the Bible is not, the Bible is a book, but the Bible does not represent a civilized book. You know, because when somebody gets wealthy, but then they have lost most of their wealth, they still have some wealth left. It may not be much, but they do have wealth. If you understand what I'm saying. Well, the Bible is pretty much like that. It is a Bible and is understood to be a word of God. But with all these different authors that they say wrote the Bible, you know, you really don't have the right where we are in the world and the era that we are in. You really don't have a good reason to think that the Bible is a word of God like they preach in church and stuff like that. Because when you find out that, you know, the iniquity of even the ministers that are preaching in the church, they have all the elements to attract people. But then if you are serious about understanding the knowledge of and the force that operate the church, you will think differently about the church. Because it's going to take you a long time to remove all those convictions you have about the church and your spiritual connection with a spirit God. It's going to take, you're going to have to read the right kind of information. Something that you don't have to believe it to keep on living. You want to read information like Pope will apologize for sins of Catholics. Pope John Paul II will make sweeping confession Sunday. Of the sins of Catholics from antiquity to modern evils, Vatican official said Tuesday. You read something like this and you don't need to believe what you're reading. You just don't. Some of you may think that you have to believe it for it to benefit you in any way, and that's not true. That's wrong word usage. That's the way the church teaches us to believe stuff. That's where I was. When you read a piece of information that you hadn't read before, you don't hear anybody say those things. And you start to read it, and you realize this is a newspaper article. And it is telling you information that is not conjured up. It's an official, writer who wrote the information that they have received to publish. In this case, Kathleen Grossman, USA Today, 2000. So you read this. You don't, this is not fiction. I mean, newspaper don't write fiction as information. Who would buy a newspaper if it was fictional publication? The people who write the articles in the paper are just making jokes and stuff like that. You wouldn't bother buy it unless you want jokes. So what I'm trying to say is that today in the world that we are living in, and you read that the Pope and the institution of what they call the Catholic Church, and they even call it Roman Catholic Church, and you don't really know anything about it. So when you read the Bible, you just believe it. And you don't have no knowledge that you can differ with anything that you're reading. We don't need that. You just don't need that. You need to read and know exactly what you read and know that it is for real from when it's not. And the only thing that's benefiting you is the information that gives you knowledge you can use. Now, how do you use the knowledge in the Adam and Eve creation story? How do you use that? Who is supposed to be the author of what of the story in Genesis creation story? It's not man, according to the Bible. No. It's not human beings. It's the spirit God in the Bible who they say send words to special people, you know, to distribute among the populace. But what I'm saying here is you cannot find that God into any history. How are you benefited by believing the creation story of Adam and Eve? When you do have a history that read just like this Pope will apologize for sins of Catholic. You have history that read like that. Because what real history and this article has in common is that this is a real production by people. All right. Well, prehistory is something produced just like that. That as long as this writing exists, and as long as that information exists, you can use it in the way it was meant to be used. See the principle? That principle is there. But, I mean, as far as applying the substance, not the same at all. Because this is Pope apologizing for sins of Catholic, opposed to, you know, and what you read about Adam and Eve in the garden, God make heaven and earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh day. I mean, how can you be sure, or where are you going to find a piece of history that tells you directly who God is and what place did he create Adam and Eve? You know, that is not in the Bible. I don't want to tell you something now. The Europeans have done since they came to power. They have written a lot of literatures that misrepresent historic record in history. And the Bible is the most effective production that they have produced that destroy the sanity of civilized people. This is not a joke. To really understand what I'm saying and to arrange your mind to understand the civilized establishment of the world, you really have to read the world history about humanity. Okay? And what is called modern history. When you're reading the world history textbook, is like is modern history, but it's happened. And the only thing that don't happen is what these Yamada white Yamnaya culture sodomites, white people, wrote in the Bible. It's the only thing where they lie about a lot of things that they write in there. And how do you know that different from anything else? Well, you make distinction. And if when you read something here that is established as a fact, and you regard it as a fact, and you go someplace else and see that they wrote something that contradicts what they have already written as authentic history, you can tell when I'm a lie. Because they expect you to be on their level of thinking that when they set up a trap, you will walk right into it and be caught, believing foolishness, right? Because they plan it for you, right? So basically what I mean is like you and them on the same track, you're responding to what they wrote. But what if they knew that people would not believe what they say? Well, they might know, well, it doesn't make any sense. But they wrote the Bible with the understanding that African people will believe what they write in the Bible and accept the Bible as the word of God and all this kind of stuff. And therefore, I'm saying that to feel good and to think good, it's a delicate process and a delicate experience. Because, like I say, when we are taught to believe things that we don't know, you know, it keeps us from really knowing and understanding the world that we are living in for a little while. But it is the right thing for us to read the proper information. Because when somebody is tricking you and fooling you, you will never know yourself. And especially when you come from an origin that requires you to know, and you fail to know, you decide to believe in something you don't know, poor thing, you perish. Because your mind is not affected by historic truth, but by a Bible that Sodomite, who just learned to speak 100,000 years ago, and leaving behind them their mute past. Okay? They were destined to not speak. Why would they take so long to speak? Except now you have to acknowledge something has to happen to make them speak after all that time. That the record of the world history says they only make stone tools and light a fire. So what happened to make white people speak? We are finding out now why. And why you don't have anything to disbelieve what the history says about interbreeding, and why you as an African ethnic person need to understand that the Bible lies about Adam and Eve in a garden and eating a fruit and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, God threatened them that they would die and stuff like that. Find out, God admit that he lied. And you don't realize that yet because you're still believing in the thing. That's why I say you don't believe stuff when you read it. It must come as truth. You must have reason why you think it is a knowledge thing. Believing in the Bible is not a knowledge thing, okay? And there are a lot of African people out there now, and you know, they are suffering because they don't have the knowledge about knowledge. You have to have knowledge about knowledge, a different you know, context of knowledge. And a part of, well, what makes me feel good is because I've been thinking good and feel little pain since I wake up But then, you know, I begin to feel like I'm exercising, and I feel all right. And it doesn't matter to me if my pain is sleeping now. I don't feel it. But I am developing with the knowledge that I am learning, okay? And there is a challenge in the world today for African people to get out of the darkness, come into the light. Because at least you are hearing somebody talking to you and saying things that you just don't like, you know, it's, and you think, you know, I know people who know me and stuff, and they know I'm serious. But if I am not able at some point along the way to have their attention to look at me as a person, and what could make me talk stuff that doesn't make any sense? Do I behave like I don't have any sense? Think about that. Do I act with purpose? Do I go deep enough into language, in, you know, in explaining any meaning I'm putting forward? Do I spend time on not making haste to run away from talking to you because you're asking me questions I'm not able to understand? Or do I clearly explain whatever my reasoning is and hope for you to, like, either accept or deny what I say? Now, you can only deny something that you provide evidence for. If you're not providing evidence for, you know, to disagree with what I say, then you cannot walk away and leave me there hanging out and in the lack of what you are not offering. Because if I take time to explain what I am thinking and what I have done or yet to do, if I am not spending time to make you see it, because as long as I illuminate what I'm saying, you have something to see it. You have an eye inside of you, a eye of reasoning, not the outside eyes. But internally, if I am really using the power of words to open up the truth of what I'm saying to you, you don't have any other alternative than to understand what I say. Now, I have spoken to people who I clearly convince, and they have not used any intelligent method to show me that I am wrong. They shut up and, as it were, let their silence do the job. And I know that if a person is challenging me and I bring them to conviction of what I say, that they understand that I say something that they understand and should be able to, you know, I mean, distinction, create understanding by what I say, and analyze and conclude. And if you fail to do that, well, it means that you are really saying that I, you know, at least you're blocked. At least you're blocked because you don't have anything yet you should be able to say. You're not able to say it. So if I am the one who is like the underdog, and you're not beating me up, I'm making you, you know, put on your cloak and run out the ring, you know. But it's all right with me. When somebody don't want to pay attention to what I say, and I'm comfortable with, you know, what I am putting out, because I know the source where I'm coming from, and, you know, somebody need to, like, knock my armor off the stick. All right, so you for tuning into the program today. Life is about what we think and the way we feel, okay? And if you're not working on the knowledge and working on just depending on believing things, you know, I'm over that. So when I tell people about the right way to use this specific kind of word, like believe, I take delight in talking about it because I grew up and never thought about the difference between knowledge and belief. And believing in something. I feel good when I am certain of what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And as much time that I have spent paying attention to what I think is right and process out things, at this stage, I should make some progress, right? So when I talk about words and our reaction to things, well, it's worth listening to. Am I right? And I value listening to you. I value listening to you. And the point is, you don't need to tell me about, oh, you talk like you know everything. And what is the problem with that? The way I grew up, I never grew up leaning on a friend and want them to admire me. No, not at all. I never dress up because I want somebody to be impressed with the way I'm dressed. Never. And I am kind of it affects me when people tell me, like, oh, like one of my cousins, oh, you used to dress nice. And I never try to dress for nobody to admire me. Never. That I have the least interest in clothes than I think most people in the world. But I like to smell good. No joke about that. And I like to look clean, but not dressing for somebody to be impressed by me. Never would pay a dime to be impressed by anybody. I would not. It never crossed my, it's not in my nature to be like that. Right? So, when I'm talkative now, because, I mean, people who know me for a long time should remember I was not somebody who professed to be anything. Right? And I don't go anywhere for anybody to teach me anything that for somebody to remember, he go to this and that school. No. But there's more to what we understand. And the best thing is to listen to what someone says and to see how well the person is connected to what you know. If I'm connected to what you know, I'm right in the sink of what you deal with. I'm using words just like you. I'm not using, bloated words simply because I have a vocabulary or something like that. No, I am using words that you supposed to understand. Right? And if you didn't understand a word, like it's possible, anybody can use a word, and you see words all the time in statement, in sentences, and, you know, you're not familiar with it. You can go in the dictionary and look it up and see what it's talking about. And you could. Well, I was not somebody that, behaved the way I do because I didn't know anything to hold any position. I didn't. So you wouldn't expect me to be talking back then like I do now. I have something to say because I come up in a church that, you know, give you reason as you grow into adult to know something about the world. And so it is Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I am the least among people who can read well. I just don't read well. I try to learn as much as bring me into the light of how the world exists and the people in the world and what civilization is. I get to know a few things that are essential to my living among other people. So I am issue oriented, and I don't talk what I don't understand. I must read about it first if I need to, okay? If it's not something that I could put together over the years that I live and hear things and stuff, and stuff like that. So my thing is this. Based on what I know so far of world civilized life, we have structures of jurisdiction where this dynamics rule or that dynamics rule, right? And whatever fall under the jurisdiction must be in subjection to that jurisdiction, because jurisdiction are set to benefit civilized people, you know. So therefore, I see and understand that all of us together as civilized human beings, are restricted to jurisdiction. Now, I want to prove to you that white people are not under governmental jurisdiction, except the one that they fucking make. Okay? White people don't care about jurisdiction. I'll show you where do they come from, come in America. Where do they come from and come in America? I'll go into Palestine and other places. Where did they come from to overthrow the king in Rome, Italy? Where did they come from? They always come from someplace and come where we are. Now, how can you prove to me that white people who come now where we are and say they set up government? Where is the government? Where they come from? They couldn't have any government because they never talked. I prove to you that when I say they just start speaking 100,000 years ago, proving a fact. Because just the case where the world literature textbook says they come from hominid 3.5 million years ago. They never spoke nothing. They make stone tools and light a fire. They came out of Africa and going to Europe. Now, 1.5 million years ago, they never spoke. How did these white people turn into Yamnaya culture, Sodomite culture, and ruling the world, and black people have to stay one side? That they turn the societal civilized world into what they have been over 3.5 million years. That's what they were. People who don't have any, who didn't speak. We are not as worse off as them, but we are close to being like them. Because now we can read and we don't know what we read. When you read about Adam and Eve in a garden, you don't know what you read because you believe the whole bunch of nonsense written by them. Okay? Who are coming from evolutionary origins. Okay? And interbreed up. We don't interbreed up with anybody to be who we are. But that's what they have done, and now come push us aside. And now if our eye, inner eye, not open, we will die and perish. Idiots. Now, we see something happening lately things are happening right now that, you know, is like their cookie is crumbling now. When they came on the scene 2,600 years ago, they really crumbled our cookie because we were wrong to interbreed with them. That's what the history says. Now, these things must come strange to people hearing it for the first time. But my friends, you have need to research what I am saying. I would hope that you get clues from what, you know, about what I'm talking about that gives you a door in to begin to search these things that I'm talking about. Because, you know, you can't use your belief and your supposition and stuff like that and say, I don't have any sense. You just can't rely on that because that is not going to give you no sense. It will only keep you believing where you're believing and think it is true. However, and just know that you cannot survive on what you think about, let's say, the things I'm saying. If you're only going to say, well, I don't know what I'm talking about, and you don't know what you're talking about. It's not me don't know what I'm talking about. It's you that don't know what you are thinking about and condemning me. I want to thank you for tuning to the program. All right, I am going to be right back, and I will pick up from where I left off. Ultimate things is what I delve in and dispense to people because we are all under the same jurisdiction of civility. And if you're under some other jurisdiction, I just point out to you that white people are not under civilized jurisdiction. They're under their own sodomite creation and decide to use it on us. And I'm saying, if you look at what is going on in the world right now, you will find out that their cookie is crumbling at a fast rate. Now, listen, Sam Cooke says.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Okay, wonderful. Now I have someone in the chat room here, and it's so nice to have you aboard. Now I am going to like ease off a bit on what I was saying, and I'm going to pay some attention to what the writer said there in the chat room. The word Egypt, I like to share these things, right? Whether it will be right or wrong, right? We'll make whatever we can make of it, right? I'm not going to like do anything that is damaging at all to any information unless I see something that I need to say that I think is right to say. All right. But this Be Wiser Serpent says the word Egypt is first and foremost Greek. Egypt. I'm accustomed to the word Egypt from I was a child growing up in church as a boy until I turned adult. And I never heard anybody said anything about the word Greek, G-R-E-E-K. All right, let's hear about this now. And the term ancient Egypt is an oxymoron. Oxymoron. Now, my friends, let's see what oxymoron means here. So everybody, not sure everybody know what oxymoron is. It's a vocabulary word that most people, I think I have an idea what oxymoron is, right? But let's say get everybody to understand what I'm saying. Okay. Now, for who do not know what is the meaning of oxymoron, that the term ancient Egypt is oxymoron, a figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms appear conjunction. For example, faith. Unfaithful, kept him falsely true. An oxymoron is a figure of speech that juxtaposes concepts with opposing meaning within the word or phrase that creates an ostensible self-contradiction. And an oxymoron can be used as a rhetorical device to illustrate a rhetorical point or to reveal a paradox. And a paradox is to reveal a paradox mean paradox means paradox Paradox means seemingly absurd. All right, so it's right in line with oxymoron. So is something that is contrary, right? So let's go back to the term ancient Egypt is an oxymoron. So to say ancient Egypt, why say if ancient mean in time gone by, which say what who lived in Egypt long time ago? Let's say we have what is called BC and AD, right? So if you talk about Egypt and you're talking about Egypt like 6,000 years ago, for example, and somebody say in ancient Egypt in that sense, why is that an oxymoron if the person is really referring in reality to what the civilization was like 6,000 years ago in Egypt? And they say in ancient Egypt, making a comparison between what Egypt was back to, you know, say 1,000 years ago, consider ancient time. Now, let me read the rest of it. Say it is, to say the term ancient Egypt is an oxymoron. I don't think it is an oxymoron when it is making distinction between BC and AD. I don't think it is an oxymoron because it is talking about something that used or something that began in Egypt that you can use to authenticate something today. I don't think the term ancient Egypt in this sense, in this context, I wouldn't say it is an oxymoron. That's the way I think about that. Now, scribes, what about scribes? I don't know what you're saying about scribe. Yeah. All right. Now, it's not called believe for nothing. Believe is also believe. What do you mean? What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean by believe. It's not called believe. What is not called believe? I don't know. What is not called believe? Believe is a verb. It's something that happened, either mentally or physically. Believe. You first believe, and then once you execute the act of believing, it is now a belief. B-E-L-I-E-F, which is a noun. That's what I know about that. For not believe. For nothing, he says what? It is not called believe for nothing. Believe is also believe. And believe is primarily a verb. Something that you do, whether or not you believe in something that is good or bad. That's all I have to say about that. Belief is a verb, and you do whatever you do with it from there. You know, did you believe something that is true, or you believe something that you don't even know about? When it comes to church, belief is something that the central belief in church is to believe in God, in us as a spirit God. So right there, you're saying you really don't know nothing about God. And they say God make man in their image and likeness. Which part of that God carry our image that we should say, all right, we see this image of the God in some in the person of civilized humans. We don't have that to say. We can't say that because you can't talk about a spirit God image. You see it in a physical person. That doesn't make any sense. That's not civilized, type of thinking. Because history doesn't tell us that a spirit God make human being at all. It's only the Bible, and the Bible is not certified by any academic consultant in history or teacher review. It was a nonsense. All right? That's how I see that. All right. Now come on to 3.5 million years ago. They were still in parasitic form. Now, make sure what parasitic is. Parasites. All right. Parasitic definition. What is the most common parasitic infection? What is parasitic infection? Okay, parasitic infection. What is a parasitic infection? I wanted just parasitic. I didn't want parasitic infection. I wanted parasitic. All right. Let's talk about parasite then, because that would be the root word. Let's go here. This is a parasite. Parasite. All right. Let's say parasite. And parasite. A parasite, all right, parasite definition. All right, parasite means organism. All right, so you're saying organism that lives in, in an organism of other species. All right, so let's go back now to 3.5. All right, 3.5 years ago, they were still in parasitic form. So you're talking about who were living in parasitic form 1.5 million years ago, or the first humans in the context of what we are talking about, or what I talk about when I talk about 3.5 million years ago, is about the first human being that evolved. And in the World History textbook, that is the authority textbook for modern time, when it comes to reality and existence of mankind, the first humans were not civilized at all. And they have several stages that they go through according to the World History textbook. And I'm not talking about my opinion and my ideas. I'm talking strictly authorized certified history. That it doesn't say that it doesn't say that the stage of hominid humans, I don't read that it called, that it named the their existence of as parasitic. If you are making a description that, you know, somebody may compare that stage of humanity as being parasitic to what I read is their existence of life. They were not created by a creator like he talks about, what brought Homo sapiens sapiens. Okay? And even Homo sapien, that is not a form of hominid. Homo sapien, the first Homo sapien, is not evolved like hominid. Okay? Homo sapien is a different breed. Okay? And was fairly intelligent. They just didn't talk, as far as I know, in the history, right? So, so to say that hominid were parasitic, I would have to get more explanation as to why you would classify the first hominid as parasitic, because I don't get that. In Incredible Sam Cooke, WKSC. I don't know what WKSC is. What does that mean? Sam Cooke. All right, let's come on here down to who killed Sam Cooke. Oh, okay. The story about what happened to him and some woman and thing like that, and resulted in, you know, his execution. Here is wisdom. Egypt was never ancient. Why ancient? When we have time, spatiotemporal time, when Egypt exists compared to today. We are at AD Anadamani. We are AD Anadamani in the year, no, we are in the year of the Lord. You know what I mean? And the BC era, according to what we have here today, had the last century, like going back about 2,000 or so years ago, when they come in with AD Anadamani calendar. You see what I mean, my friend? That's where I go with that. So furthermore, the term Egypt referred to one site, era within the entire geographical or on the northern Nile. But look, my thing is this. You distinguish something based on time. And if somebody say ancient, what is ancient, my bro? Let me tell you what ancient is, because this is how I distinguish and how I classify stuff, and it shouldn't be any confusion there. Which something is A-N-C-I-E-N-T. Ancient. And let's see what it says. Belonging to the very distant past. And very distant past really means distance that related to the context of the time. Because it's not just one length of time mean ancient. It's a certain spatiotemporal space of time that applies to ancient. So if somebody say ancient, they can be talking about, you know, even say 1,000 years. Somebody might even say ancient, and they are talking. I've never seen a cutoff line. And if you say the cutoff line would be BC era and where AD Anadamani came in, that is reasonable for a person to use as a cutoff time, because ancient is only talking about long ago, and long ago mean quite a few different, identity of time. That's how I see that. Okay, so move on down. You're saying it's never ancient. I don't agree with that. The term Egypt arrived with the Greek invaders. Greek? Greek is a language. Greek is a language, and who speak Greek first? All right? 350 to 400 BC. No. Who speak Greek first? Is it European? You know what I mean? Who speak Greek first? Is it? Who speak Greek first? European are, you know, saying they are Greeks and they are a bunch of an Hebrew and all kind of things like stuff like that, which we know are out of their mind. They are sodomites who don't have any sense of civilization. So, no matter with that. Invaders are not Africans. Invaders are Inquisition and Crusaders that kill African people. That's all there is to that. All right. Furthermore, the term Egypt referred to one site. Okay. But Egypt is the name of a place, right? And right now I want to talk about the four early civilizations on planet Earth began with Mesopotamia, Egypt, India, and China. So if you're going to try and make something else for Egypt, and you're talking about the derivative of the word, and you're saying the term Egypt, it's not term, it's a name of a place. Refer to, no. It's the name of a place, bro. It's a noun. Egypt is a noun. It's not anything that walks. No, I don't agree with that usage. No. There was no so-called Egypt before. Well, you know what? I cannot react to that because I cannot refute when the place was first called Egypt. I really don't know that far. I don't know that far. So due respect to this statement that you make, I would have to research and find out when did this place called Egypt. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna leave that alone. So I hope you understand that now. But and why, what was it called before Egypt, my friend? What was it called before Egypt? All right. I have to yield to you on that one. I have to take my hands up for that because I don't know when it was. So I cannot affirm or disaffirm that. I'll have to search that one. Anciently, it was referred to as Kemet. Okay. So somebody started calling it Egypt. Okay. I understand that. And I respect that totally and will treat it as such. I will never object to that. And I it sounds reasonable to me too. It makes a lot of sense. So I will take that into account and maybe take it up some other time when I really look at it and say, well, but this place was not Egypt. What, and you know, what was this place before? Let's start calling it Egypt because these white people begin to change the name of Egypt, and they talk about Alexandria, where the library was built. And Alexandria come from this sodomite, Alexander the Great. You talking good stuff here with this one? I hold on to this one as, you know, something that I can definitely make use of that. And then you go into lol, yes, dial up. All right. So this one now that says I don't believe nothing. Believe is the lack of knowing. Look, 100%. 100%. Rome is not But I does not stand for what we know, you know, capital I, like possessive pronoun, a pronoun, I. all right, so go on out to Rome is not ancient. Rome is not ancient. All right, but when you say Rome, what do you mean? Are you talking about Rome in Italy? Where these guys, where you had the Roman kingship dynasty, where they overthrow the king of Rome? Is that, you know, I mean, these white people start calling themselves Rome from the date 509 BC. You know that? That's when white people began to call themselves Romans, you know? So that's what I have on that one. It says, Rome is not ancient. No scholar will ever use the term Rome and ancient in conjunction. So yes, this is what I have on this, that the way Rome is being used since 509 BC, to be specific. That's what the history book says. They overthrow the king and begin to call themselves Romans. That's it. And I challenge someone to show me that there is anything political that these Europeans has done before that date of 509 BC. All right? So, you have a tremendous amount to discover. I laugh my water. I laugh my what off. that's no joke about that. However, I have discovered basic things that really are prioritized. Because how do they come up with a government called AD and Adaman in the year of our Lord? That is something basic, that something that you are to like prioritize in your, you know, in your speech and trying to help people, because that's what none of what you're saying here put people into bondage. No, I don't see you say anything here yet that shows that the white people put us in bondage. No, but you make some points that are important anyway. But we need to get out of bondage, and the bondage is what they have as a government here. And the fact that there was government in the world before they come up and talking about government. Stuff like that is what we really need people to go out and talk about. But are you afraid to talk about those things? Because you're afraid of white people? You have to talk about stuff that kick them out of our territory where they come and talk about the ruling us. Those are the kind of things I don't give credit to a lot of our people who speak for black issues, from Marcus Garvey, come right hand on, all of the noble black people that we're talking of. They don't talk anything to deliver us out of the white people bondage. So these white people are ruling us over 2,600 years, okay? And people not touching the thing to kick them out because they're ready to shoot you down. But as long as you talk like these little things that you're talking about, nobody's going to look for you and try to, like, you know, change your mind. No, because you can say this all, for the rest of your life, and nobody's going to bother you. What I am talking about up here, it caused them to, like, turn off my mic several times. I'm talking stuff, you know? So those are the kind of stuff. I take people very, very serious if they're going to talk those kind of stuff. I'm not afraid of white people. All right. Nonetheless, I am not saying, I don't demean nothing of what you say here, so you can't take what I say now to say, well, then I don't appreciate anything that you say here. Because I'm paying all this time devoting to what you have written and saying exactly what I think about it. I lift it up if I think it is to be lifted up. I critique it if I think it deserves a critique. And take it 100%, I take it 100%, because I'm not trying to do anything else but to talk the truth. All right. You have a tremendous amount to discover. And, I mean, clearly, you know, that is not so much a needed statement for you to make, because this is what I do every day. I say, I call people and tell people, call me so we can talk. I can hear what you have to say. If you think that what I say is wrong, I want to come in and talk. And I always tell, like, my, like, what you call it, autobiography about the way I grow up and what I know and what I don't know, and when I began to read, to find out. Me no hide none of that. So it's a bag load of stuff that I have discovered that caused me to be here talking. No joke about that. So what you say, how much more I have left to discover? Well, you don't give me a very striking priority of stuff that you discover that really strike down these white people and all this stuff them that they have done. I don't see you really come with anything tough yet, right? So you have some little things that are okay, and I enjoy, you know, like reading them and make the much of them. But you don't throw a hard ball yet that I should say, well, hey, you're tough, and I appreciate that. No, you don't do that yet. I don't see, know if you have anything coming. But so far, a softball you've been throwing. Again, the term Egypt is a poor Greek translation. You see, you repeat stuff like this that I am going to say. You repeat stuff like this that is a softball stuff. You have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about the government and how they are ruling and where they come from with this false government. Why don't talk about the false government that is white people ruling black people? And black people don't live anywhere black people live. They have to pay through the dust, of every dollar to pay. And they come here and take away what we have and stuff like that. What about those kind of stuff? Why you don't delve into something like that? And the church that them come and push, you know, and teach if it turns sodomite. Why you not talk about some of them stuff there? But you keep on talking about Egypt and, you know, and it good. And me spend time on that, and you still repeat that about Egypt. Come on, man. Come on. All right. So let's see what's happening here now. You say, again, the term Egypt is, again, the term Egypt is a poor Greek. You don't need to beat about the translation. That won't take we from underneath the white man. Okay? It won't. The leaders and managers of America apply anno lucis in the year of our Lord is a dating system. Do we need a dating system? Do we need a dating system? Why they are replacing our initial calendar by the gods. That means something to our blood and our life. Where them come from with this thing? It's a sodomite thing. This calendar where them come in AD and Adamani, and it don't rest, it is not rest upon anything civilized. Do you know that? Do you know that this AD in the year of our Lord, don't rest on anything that is civilized? Do you know that? Because there is no Jesus Christ were born. It's a black man they are calling Jesus that was born in B.C. 4 to 6, according to them. They can't tell the exact time, but that is a black man. It's not no Jesus would have done a Bible. So these are the kind of stuff we need to, like, kick these people out of the way with, right? So is a dating system used in Mosaic ceremonial or commemorative proceeding? And who need that? It's a sodomite thing. It's a sodomite. We're not supposed to be using AD Anno Domini in the year of our Lord. Black people not supposed to use that. Are you willing to go out there and tell them that? Get out of our territory with this whole bunch of junk. Because it is not anything for African jurisdiction. how they come to be ruling over African jurisdiction with AD and Adamani. Right? It is not a calendar. If it is a calendar, it's Europe won. It's Europe stuff. And that's what I want people to talk about. But don't come here and talk these softball stuff to me, man. Come on. Would you like to come on the program and spend some time with me someday and come on and talk? I have some people that don't want to come on and talk because they're afraid white man kill them, you know, see. I'm not afraid a white man kill me because we have tornadoes. Look up at Kentucky, what happened to them up at Kentucky there. About 59 tornado touchdown up there, you know, right? And that's the creator them who rule the world and like you talk about. I think you make a statement, you know, above here that I don't think my thought is coming from something you said, but that I was doing some research about Elohim, right? And what they were saying. You Google about the Elohim and creation and stuff. They don't want to talk to you about that, you know, because they want to keep us believing the Adam and Eve story that keep us idiots and not knowing ourselves. All right? So what I'm saying to you now is that, yeah, yes, I agree with you what you say about the AD and Adamani calendar, right? Gregorian stuff are similar to, all right, Anno Mundi. All right. But look, your answer is good. But your answer is only repeating what they write on Google about this calendar. You know, this is not really bringing anything to a person who is stumbling in the dark because they are not told the truth about the real truth about AD and Adamani. Because AD and Adamani that they are using to collect every dime from you, every dime that you work, it's not based on anything authentic government at all. And we are and it's sodomite. It's sodomite. AD and Adamani calendar in the year of our Lord, because it not rests upon anything that is real. And if it were even anything real, why are they using African to build a premise on which they rule the world and rule us? Come on. Lol. All right. You have a tremendous amount to discover. Why are you repeating this? I talk to my peers. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I'm not your peers. You are repeating stuff that you surely don't have any, you're not burning any gas here with that because you're repeating something that you said already. No, that make no sense. Elohim is first and foremost feminine plural. Okay. Yeah, you mean goddesses and gods. Is that what you mean? It is not 2021, lol. All right, good. Time with you to talk about stuff that you take the time to come here and write. Listen, I would appreciate if you come in and come in online that we can talk. People hear your voice and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And then it would be more contributing and, you know, it would do something that I say, well, when we are interacting, than me here who can't hardly read to try and read what you're saying and talk at the same time and you're just writing these stuff. What if you were talking? Why you don't call in and let us talk? While you're writing, and I have to be working overtime, you know, to show my appreciation for what you're saying. Let's talk. You know what I mean? All right. And you talk to your peers? I mean, I don't, am I your peers? You know, I mean, you're just talking. I cannot make decisions and you're just talking some things here. I don't know if you're pretending or what, but you're talking some things that make sense. And I have to pay, pay respect to what you say. That I really appreciate you stopping by. And it is not what, 2021, lol. My peers comprehend ancient facts. You should thank me. Wait a minute. Come on, are you deaf? I think I sit here and I thank you and I appreciate. I didn't say, wait a minute, are you deaf? You still have, you say what? You still have a tremendous amount to discover. I mean, did I acknowledge that long time ago? And you lolling and laughing? What are you talking about? My peers have mastered English language. So wait a minute. You're gone somewhere now. I don't know where you're gone. Now, I'm going to say goodbye to you and tell you that I do appreciate you coming by. I'm going to go back to what I had to do. I take the time here. You are not going to talk for people to hear you. And I am not going to sit here and try to, talk one way, reading what you say to people in the world. And you're afraid to come and talk on the air to make people hear. So I spend enough time here. And I've got to get back to what I was saying, okay? Now, listen, I hope you appreciate that I show you respect. I mean, a lot more respect than a lot of people out there would like to give you. I'm not afraid of what you're saying. I read them, read out, everything that I see you say here. My peer have mastered the English language. Action speak much louder than word. Now, you got to put that in a context. You're talking about and boasting off. Now, I can prove you here wrong for making a statement like that. Never is it proper to say, action speak louder than word. Because I'm going to ask you, what time does action speak louder than word? Because you can't make that as a general statement and be correct about that. Come on. Okay? You revore it, payax, whatever, anak. I mean, no, all right. No, you don't have anything else to say. And I want to tell you, I appreciate you coming by. Next time, I want you to log in and let us chat, okay? Is that okay with you? All right. Left the conversation. All right. We had a good time. I don't have anything else to say because spend a good time with me and we have fun. Take good care. All right. Well, that was nice. That was really nice. All right. I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. And I enjoy that time with the guests. I wish it was more if somebody came in and, make that be vocal, and let people hear us. Now, nobody don't hear him and, is as it were anonymous, anonymous in a way. All right. But I am still appreciative of it. All right. So let's go back now to another interlude. And let it be Stardust, Nat King Cole. I will be right back in a moment.
If I had to choose just one day.
If I had to choose just one day. To last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. Newborn whippoorwill were calling from the hill. Summer was a coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills, nodding all together.
together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her, go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way, that Sunday, that summer. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way, that Sunday, that summer.
If I had to choose just one day.
Great. Okay. I hope you enjoyed the tune. And you're listening to the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am Tim Aldred, author of a few little books. Bamboos Will Be Seized by Lies, My Never a Sinner, 6 Steps to Religious Freedom, Who Put People on Earth, and here are some Islam booklets as well. I think 2 of them. And, you know, I do those things in earnest to help other people get to know what history tells us about ourselves. I grew up in the church on the Bible, and it is only my interest to let other people know what I have discovered, because since we are in common, this calamity that is plaguing the world, we really have a need to know. I had a need to know, and it's like the good Lord helped me to understand certain things because I was thinking and wanted help, and nobody wasn't giving it to me. Okay, I wasn't getting anything to advance my knowledge and understanding of the world around me, what happened long ago, and so forth and so on. Okay, and therefore, that's the reason why I thought about writing those manuscripts, that whosoever it may help, so be it. We will die with knowledge in ourselves. All right. Here, I come to this juncture now where I'm going to read to you the feature of the show. And here is the headline. Removal of just one second.
Is it one more?
I apologize. I'm so sorry that I was distracted and take too long. All right, let's go on now. Removal of Europe sodomy, AD and Adamani, bogus Jesus from African society. Listen, we have a serious dilemma. I was born, come see it, the churches, and thought that the church was really to save somebody's soul. But only now find out it is a book, a ton of dangerous, caustic lies. It's not relevant to civilization. What is called the Holy Bible is the opposite of what is holy, okay? Now, what has happened in the world is something that must be known, and that's what I am all about, okay? Whether or not these Europeans come to their senses to understand what they have done to the civilized world, you know, it's something that is in their hands. However, what needs, somebody tell me that I have a lot to discover. And I don't doubt that. I don't reject that I have a lot to discover. But I make it known that I have discovered some primary things that when I talk about them, let's say I don't see our people talking about those things, and those things should become a priority long ago, because talking about some little soft matters and Africa is over there 2,600 years, and I don't read, I don't hear anything, nobody come to me and talk anything, never raise the issue why Africa sold us as slaves. So I don't expect somebody to tell me about I have a lot to discover because they're talking about some little softball stuff that they read. I mean, it's true, but I mean, it's not going to deliver them nor nobody at all. You can talk about Egypt, you can talk about India and whatever, you know, some things where you know that are not true about some of the issues. But those are softball stuff. We need deliverance from the adversary that come in, the sodomites, who come in and say they are taking over the world with these, sodomite views. They have, since they turned Yamnaya sodomite culture. That's what is important for us to know. Because nobody is delivered from the foolishness of the church by talking all these softball stuff. You want to deal with what concerns us, what the gods who create us expect of us. That's what we have to talk about. Because we are yielding to the sodomite people who take over the world and who they deceive. They deceive us. They deceive us and get us to interbreed with them, and they get our blood and start talking, and then this is where we are with that. Now, they no longer, these sodomite, Homo erectus, Yamnaya culture sodomites, they don't want to be known as sodomites, you know? Yet still they come and pass federal law to marry two fucking ass people. The point is, African people, they only know to talk nonsense. Because when you talk something that is not really helping anybody, really, you know, and you're neglecting the primary thing to talk about that will deliver us and give us our own way of life. We don't have our own land. These people take away every land we have. And it is still our land, but they come in with something that say it's theirs, and we do nothing to prove to them it's not theirs. I don't want to hear, I want to hear things that are true, yes. But I don't want to hear just softball stuff that you find out, and then you're hiding and talking those things because you're afraid of these folks. I'm taking my own dollars to pay for this show that these sodomites are using technology to block what I say, right? And I'm still not giving up on talking. And I'm talking the real nitty-gritty stuff that started the problem and got us here in the problem. The worst thing happened to us, and we're not talking stuff and making moves to get out. I talk about word is louder. What? Action is louder than words. And I say, give me the context for that. I'm not hearing nothing of that. You know what I mean? If you're talking and you claim that you know a lot of things, come on. Let your action be louder than the words. Right? Because what you're talking, as far, like I say, hey, you're giving me softball stuff. You know, they're true, but they're softball, which means it's not going to take anybody anywhere. You know what I mean? If I know, if I get to know the reason why they call Kemet Egypt, how is that going to change my life? I mean, somebody will say, well, then, hey, your name, you talk about European and stuff like that, European name and Bible name. Timothy. They name me Timothy. My parents are Christian. They call me Timothy. And they call almost everyone of my siblings a Bible name. My father named Jonathan. Right? That's Bible name. My big brother is James. My third brother is Ozia. And my fourth brother is Paul, St. Paul. And I am Timothy, the fifth child of our parents, right? So, and then you have Naomi, a Bible name, Jeremiah, a Bible name, Joseph, right? Did I say Joseph? Joseph, yeah, Jeremiah and Naomi, all about, most of us are Bible names, Ozia and Paul. Those powerful Bible names. But, I mean, now, am I to change my name from Timothy to something else that I consider to be African? I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's necessary because a name is not a defiling thing. If, I mean, just having a name for innocuous reasons. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with calling me Timothy. I don't feel nothing hindering my spirit from thrive because I'm Timothy. Stopping me from recognizing right from wrong and to develop in knowledge and in the favor of the gods. I don't see where it's stopping me. I don't get any warning that I should change my name. And people who change their name, like Muhammad Ali and a lot of people change their name. That, you know, they call it European name and change to what they call African or something. But a lot of them, they've changed to being Muslim. What's the difference between Muslim, Islam, and Christianity? There is no difference when you check out the origin of it. There's no difference. So it shows you that you're swapping black dog for monkey. Okay? We need to know the real thing. The real thing. So talking about discovering things, a lot of things, it's like implying that, oh, you don't know much of anything. But I'm correcting things you're saying. I'm talking about distinction that you're supposed to be make. And don't blanket stuff and you don't make the distinction. Those are the kind of stuff. But I'm talking hardball stuff. Here every, just about almost every day, right? So that's the reason why I'm here. All right, so now let's get on with this edition. It goes on to say, the criminal act of the Homo erectus offspring, white hominid people, interbreeding with the Neanderthals, that is, of Homo sapiens, and then of the miscegenation of the African first civilized anatomic Homo sapien-sapien hybrid. That act proved to be the only cause these erectus hominid of Europe developed speech ability and knowledge of technical artisan skills ter spatio temporal time lasting the historic whoopingly 1.5 million years of solid muteness and restricted to making stone tools, and of which such limited hominid characteristics ended in Europe since the last 100,000 years ago, simultaneously with the migration of the African civilized Homo sapiens sapiens ethnic people. In that aftermath, the world began a slow, corrosive, but surely intractable societal brain delinquent change when spate of cursed crossbreeding between the Elohim hybrid Homo sapiens sapiens and sodomite Homo erectus European. These cursed generation begot on the steppes the new birth that looks like beautiful Neanderthals, but unmistakably having the academic articulation as the hybrid people. Today, Europe dubbed them the Yamnaya culture and the Proto-Hindo-European. This corrupted but intelligent generation thought in their delusion to have an imperative chance from the Elohim civilized world, fashioning it to 100% sodomy, making it a sodomy habitat world. That's what has happened. The Anu, Enlil, and Enki civilized established kingship government regards time and purpose moves in the mode to have done immediately the removal of Europe criminal inquisition sodomy AD Anno Domini in the year of our Lord bogus Jesus bureaucracy for lack of Anu, Enlil, and Enki's authentic government jurisdiction from all African societies around the world. This is saying, A.D. Anadamani, in the year of their Lord, bogus Jesus bureaucracy, for lack of Anu, Enlil, and Enki, authentic government jurisdiction, from all African social, from all African society around the world. We don't have any government. And that is impossible. African people cannot do without the initial calendar and the kingship government that it provided for us. We allow these sodomites to come in and take away everything, and we become mute, as it were. Let the purpose of Anu, King of Heaven on earth, be done. And that's what I have to say right here. Now, there's something else that I can read to you that has, of course, a very powerful impact. And I think that, you know, it is vital for me to read this and set up on top of what I have said so far and make a closure. So I'm going to sing you another tune. And the tune I'm going to play with you now is Stardust.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you when our love was new. And each kiss an inspiration, but that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of the song, beside a garden wall, when stars are bright. You are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale, a paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain. My stardust melody, the the memory of love's refrain.
Okay, now, this is what I want to read to you. And I know for people who has a yearning for solid stuff to make clarity inside them and form their conviction on firm ground, here is something that you may want to hear. Now, if you had come along here, you could have the pleasure of the link to this article I'm going to read to you. All right, so here it is. Here's the link for this article. I don't think you won't be able to get it because we are out of time, that anybody can come in and get it. But next time, you know, you come by, you can always get the link here. You come in and tell me you want this link. It's a very, very important link concerning Africa and the Elohim civilization that first lived in Africa before they come and created mankind about some 250,000 years after they were on Earth doing a lot of stuff. So, Earth's International Research Society welcomes our newest member, Michael Tellinger. Michael is a musician, author, scientist, and an explorer from Mpumalanga, South Africa. Michael has been making groundbreaking discoveries about a vanished ancient civilization at the southern tip of Africa. His continued efforts and analytical scientific approach of produced stunning new evidence that will force us to rethink their origins and rewrite our history books. I mean, these are scientists talking. Scholars. And when they talk about scholars, they're talking about Yamnaya stupid sodomites. Okay? And this is what they are saying. So these scholars is sodomite white people. They don't want us to call them sodomites because they know sodomite don't work in civilized society. But we don't call them here. We don't call them here. And when they sit up there and talk about Wall Street and the amount of money these sodomite fucking ass white people have, and they're here looking at us and talking about America is their country and stuff like that, you know, they need to learn that fucking ass white people have nothing to do into African jurisdiction. They don't have nothing to do here. And pretty soon, they're learning that lesson the hard way. They're going to keep on learning it until their lesson are done. Scholars have told us that the first civilization on Earth emerged. Who are they to tell people about civilization on Earth? And they fuck ass. You just think about it. Everything they write in Bible, they only write about African people because they can get somewhere with it. But they will not get anywhere with talking about European because they were mute for 3.5 million years, okay? And begin to interbreed, and that's what caused them talking and learning stuff and be what they are today. They don't want the world to know that. So they're always writing and using African characters and talk all kind of things that are just pure faggot ideas and thinking, and mix it up with, you know, I mean, things that are acceptable or people are apt to believe. Nobody's going to up to believe people who never talk 3.5 million years and suddenly start to talk, and they have to be hiding the reason why they are talking. It's coming out, though. It's just that you should know out there, don't listen to anything these people are writing like the Bible. Begin with the Bible. You read the Bible? I'm not telling you to throw it away, because there are useful things in the Bible, you know. Some good messages and thought are in the Bible. And it's good when we know the difference between foolishness and uncivilized stuff by these fucking ass white people, them, who now come and forcing us to marry to fuck ass. Okay? That is not accept. We shouldn't have to be in this situation now. We are like crying because they come impose their fucking self on us in our territory. I'm talking about it's their country. And anywhere we are, they hold, you know, AD, Anna Domini, fucking foolishness, calling it law. Anywhere we are, they're entitled to come there and control everything about our lives. That mean that, hey, we ultimately have a fate to become sodomites. But that's what they think, you know. I mean, what they think is one thing. What the gods think is another. Go up to Kentucky and you'll find out what the gods think about these sodomites. Go up to Kentucky, right? Come on now. It's like overkill, right? 59 tornadoes touched down up there. When you see the kind of stuff that the wind destroyed. No, those places were far above hurricane wind force, you know. When I look at the picture of what has been, thrown down on the ground, it's like, you know, you'd expect buildings that don't have no concrete, no good steel or not like that, was decimated like that. But that's not the case. Some of these buildings that I see are buildings that are solidly constructed. And yet still, the gods send some wind. And whether or not it was business or, you know, any kind of business, it was gone. You see what I mean? And these white people don't care. They don't care. They're not. And some of them say, why? And they're crying and stuff like that. They don't understand. Look here. It is your sodomite presence why you see something like that happen. Because if you think nature just operates like that randomly and without cause, you're wrong about that. Ask yourself, what are you doing in America? And you come here and think it's your country. Well, this is what you're subjected to. Because you are causing the gods to have absolutely no regard for you guys. Because what they have done here and leave a world to be orderly, a world that has love and respect and honor and praise the Almighty gods for the good things that they have done. No, you're not into that. You turn God yourself, right? Good. You get knocked down out of Mars. You're not thinking about going up to Mars anymore because you run right into something you don't think you should expect. right? And you don't think you should respect what you run into because you're a fucking sodomite. You're an idiot. You're uncivilized. You don't know the civilized world. All right? So here we go. This is what these sodomites are saying. Scholars have told us that the first civilization on earth emerged in a land called Sumer some 6,000 years ago. No, not Nagaso. Not Nagaso. You see what I mean? But that's what these fucking ass people come and Africa is back there behind them, cheering them on. Imagine that. New archaeological and scientific discoveries made Michael Challenger, Joanne Aney, and a team of leading scientists shows that to be not the case, as Michael revealed. And researches the mysterious ancient stone structures that occupy a vast area of ground at the southern tip of Africa. Adam's calendar, now referred to as Encke's calendar, is the flagship among millions of circular stone ruins. Ancient roads, agricultural terraces, and thousands of ancient mines left behind by the vanished civilization, which we now call the first people. These settlements cover most of the southern Africa, an area about twice the size of Texas. They carved detailed images into the hardest rock, worshipped the sun, and were the first to carve an image in the Egyptian Anka, key of life and universal knowledge, thousands upon thousands of years before Egyptians ever came to light. Below, see here, below is a well-written and thought out provoking article Michael wrote based on his researches in Africa. I found it most interesting. Let's see now. We have a picture here that is that is written, amazing discovery, a 200,000-year-old metropolis in Africa. And you see a place like this, and, you know, we don't have a culture that put these things there, right? And these are the work of advanced way beyond any civilized human being, right? In Africa. And these sodomite white people don't want African people to make use of these things because they want to keep people in the church. Now, ancient human metropolis found in Africa, they have always been there. People noticed them before, but no one could remember who made them or why until just recently. No one even knew how many there were. Now, they are everywhere. Thousands, no, hundreds of thousands of them. And the story they tell is the most important story of humanity. Think of that. But it's one we might not be prepared to hear. Why? Something amazing has been discovered in area of South Africa about 150 miles inland west of the port of Maputo. It is the remains of a huge metropolis that measures, in conservative estimates, about 1,500 square miles. It's part even larger community that is about 10,000 square miles and appears to have been constructed. Are you ready? From 160,000 to 200,000 BC, the image, top of page, is a close-up view of just a few hundred meters of the landscape taken from Google Earth. Region is somewhat remote, and the circles have often been encountered by local farmers who assured they were made by some indigenous people in the past. But oddly, no one ever bothered to inquire about who could have made them or how old they are. Or how old they were. This changed when researcher and author Michael Tellinger teamed up with Joanne Annie, a local fireman and pilot who had been looking at these ruins from his years of flying over the region. Annie had a unique advantage to see the number and extent of these strange stone foundations and knew that their significance was not being appreciated. Here is the last paragraph I'm going to read you. When Joanne first introduced me to the ancient stone ruin of South Africa, this is Tellinger that is talking. When Joanne first introduced me to the ancient stone ruins of South Africa, I had no idea of the incredible discoveries we would make in the year. I had no idea of the incredible discoveries we would make in the year or two that followed. The photographs, artifacts, and evidence we have accumulated points. Unquestionably to a lot never before seen civilization that predates all others that they talk about as civilization. This predates all of them, where they come from. Not by just a few hundred years or a few thousand years. Really? They will not be easily digested by the mainstream historical and archaeological fraternity. Talking about the Sodomite, then we are ruling the world now. They don't want to hear nothing about something like that because they just learned to talk over the past 100,000 years. When they interbreed and build up what you call Yamnaya culture, Sodomite culture, them just learn to talk and begin to take charge. You see? So they're not interested in these, you know, the gods and the celestial type of things, cosmological life that the hybrid people are supposed to enjoy. They don't want to hear that. They want you must come and accept the Bible and praise and accept Jesus as their savior. Why they kill us to accept it? So they don't want to hear about this. So the fraternity that they have out there, it's just because we African people don't read and we don't really get to know who these Sodomite white people are. We don't know them, right? Now, but come here and hear these things, and it is not that this is just a mythology. This is not mythology, because right here what I'm reading from, if you get this link, you will see the pictures and the place identified. It's not like the Bible where you can't find where the garden of Adam and Eve is. You know, everything that I am reading here and talking about when it comes to a place, it is here to prove it. So these Sodomites that go to all of the historic reports of what happened, and because we're not reading, we don't know it, Michael Tellinger is saying here that they never expect in the next year or two they would have such a research to do, a discovery, and said these discoveries are so staggering that they will not be easily digested by the mainstream historical and archaeological fraternity, as we have already experienced. So it means that they are getting pushed back and exposing it. The Sodomites are pushing back Understand, sir? So, you know, because them want for them science to be always telling you say, the year, the world is 6,000 years old. You see, that's what they want. And they want to, they are forcing us to accept their position, not ours. Skylarking. It will require a complete paradigm shift in how we view our human history. Tellinger wrote that. Where it was found, the place is called Makadu Drop. Waterval. There is a few places around this spot. Maputo. Bad Plus. Carolina. So there are like three places that surround this area where they have discovered these things, about 150 miles inside South Africa. So my friends, and it goes on to tell you more stuff. Because it's, okay, I have some more time, about 10 minutes. All right. It goes on to tell you more sophisticated stuff. Like, the area is significant for one striking thing. Gold! Gold! The thousands of ancient gold mines discovered over the past 500 years points to a vanished civilization. Then gone. That lived and dug for gold in this part of the world for thousands of years, says Tillinger. And if this is in fact the cradle of humankind, we may be looking at the activities of the oldest civilization on earth. And it gives you some to see the number and scope of these ruins. I suggest that you use Google Earth and start with the following, and he begin to give you the coordinates, you know, of the places here and stuff like that. And said, he says, he then perform a low flying search inside the area formed by this rectangle. Simply amazing. So, a few more little reading here I could do. He says, did gold play some role in the dense population that once lived here? The site is just about 150 miles from an excellent port where maritime trade could have helped to support such a large population. But remember, we are talking about 200,000 years ago. The individual ruins, see below, mostly consist of stone circles Most have been buried in the sand and are only observable by satellite or aircraft. Some have been exposed when the changing climate has blown the sand away, availing the walls, revealing the walls and foundations. Go on to say, I see myself as a fairly open-minded chap, but I will admit that it took me well over a year for the penny to drop and for me to realize that we are actually dealing with the oldest structures ever built by humans on Earth. The main reason for this is that we have been taught that nothing of significance has ever come from South Africa. They don't want you got here. They don't want you got here. Nothing significant has ever come from South Africa. And that's where civilization began. It's not Mesopotamia. But that powerful civilizations all emerged in Sumeria and Egypt. Places. They don't want you to go there. The real place where you figure, no, they might keep you away from it. These Yamnaya, Sodomite culture. That's what we're dealing with. And them full up the world with the church. Roman Catholic and every church that you have out there, and them shut it up. Nobody else don't make the church but them and make Islam, Muslim, and all that kind of thing. Judaism, Christianity, and them do it. And no want black people to succumb to them. You see, that they say them have law for kill you if you don't join the church. Things get out of hand from them now. You know, they're not going to accomplish what they want. And it's going to be something to see them try to get back into Europe now. Mm. So it goes on to say, we are told that until the settlement of the Bantu, people from the north, which was supposed to have started sometime in the 12th century AD, you hear that? This part of the world was filled with hunter-gatherers, you hear that? And so-called bushmen, yeah? Mm-hmm. Who did not make any major contribution in technology or civilization. You see what I mean? All right, well, we basically come to this appropriate end of the show, and I hope that you have heard something, however unrefined the output may be, but I try my best that you get an opportunity to hear something that you might not otherwise hear about civilization on Earth. So I thank you for tuning in and hope that you will be blessed by some knowledge that you receive. Swedish Rhapsody by Chet Atkins. See you on the next edition. Thank you.
So I try.
Real reason why Dad is leaving? All right, I want to hear the real reason why he's leaving.